We'll all stand for the reading of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll start in verse number 1. Well, actually, let's go back to chapter number 1, verse number 1. Ephesians, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. So this is Paul's writing here. And he says, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So that's you and me. So not only was he writing to the church of Ephesus, but he was writing to all of us throughout eternity. Okay? So just remember who he's writing to now. So this is to us, church. Now, chapter 2, verse number 1. And you hath he quickened. Now that word quickened, if you look that word up, what it means is to be made alive, to make lively. So I'm not for changing the Word of God, but let's just say it a little differently. And you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also, all of us, we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know, church, sometimes we think that we're really good. Sometimes we think that we're above all that stuff. And we look down on other Christians that aren't as religious as we are. And we look down on the world. And we look down on them with disdain. And look at those people acting that way. Paul said, included himself, all of us was once there. Verse number 4. I'm glad that God puts a but in his word. See, if we read down to verse number 3, I'd be pretty depressed. I don't know about you, but I'd be miserable, and I wouldn't be a bit happy. But I'm glad that's not the end of the story right there. Paul's saying, all of y'all, and me too, is just worthless. That's what he's saying. Now, he says, but God. Paul didn't say, but me. He didn't say, but my good works. He didn't say, but my education. He didn't say, but because I love people. He said, but God, who is, got a little bit? God, who he's got a limited amount of mercy, and he's real careful who he gives it to. No, that's not what the Apostle Paul said. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy. For his great love, wherefore he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. He hath quickened us. You see, church, we were dead in sins, but God quickened us. He made us alive. He said, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us up together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm glad that I couldn't get it, and I'm glad I don't have to try to earn it, and I'm glad I don't have to try to keep it. See, so when I was born, I was just a little baby. I didn't have to earn my parents' love. They loved me because I was theirs. You know, and I was a mean little kid, but they loved me anyway. They loved me in spite of how I acted and how I talked and the things I did. I'm getting carried away. I got to settle down a little bit. He said, One of my biblical heroes outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Apostle Paul. I love the Apostle Paul. And for the Apostle Paul to put himself in the same category as as ignorant old Terry Hommel. Lord, have mercy. He said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember, he wants us to remember, church. Remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Here's another but. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Praise God. I don't need to say anything else, church. Listen, the Word of God speaks pretty clearly for itself, all right? But God gave me a couple of thoughts, and I'll add something to this. But that's pretty powerful, just what we read. That right there, listen, what we just read right there, that'll get somebody saved right there. You don't, listen, you said, well, I can't talk to people about salvation. I don't know what, just read them this. Read them Ephesians chapter 2, okay? And you know what else Ephesians chapter 2 will do? Not only will it get people saved, but it'll get us Christians. Amen. It'll get our minds set on the things that's righteous, and it'll get our hearts right with God. That's what it'll do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. We ask for your blessings and your power upon this service and upon this message. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, that all things said and done tonight would be according to your will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you a story. Very similar to what Jesus used to do. Jesus would tell parables. And he would teach biblical truth through a story that people could identify with. So I'm going to give you an analogy and a story which is going to help us understand even deeper than what we already understand about these verses here in Ephesians chapter number 2. So the characters of this story, the title of this message is The Story of Two Dogs. The Story of Two Dogs. You see, there was this man. He was rich beyond belief. Wealthy, had everything. And he had one son. And that one son meant everything to him. While they were inseparable, they wouldn't go anywhere without the other, and they were always together. And the son, he had a desire and he had a mission in life. And his mission, he told his father, he said, I want to be a refuge for these dogs that are out there that don't have any hope. I want to create a dog sanctuary where we can bring them in and we can heal their wounds and we can fix them up. So what he did was is he went and he learned. He went to school and he became the best veterinarian that anybody had ever seen. He could solve any problem that any dog had. He specialized just in dogs. Not only that, but he learned how dogs think and he learned how dogs did things and why Caesar Milan couldn't hold a candle to this guy. This guy was a professional dog trainer and psychology. He knew everything that there was to know about dogs. So then the father, when the son came, the father, he was wealthy beyond imagination. And he had people that worked for him and people that did things for him. And he had this one guy that worked like security, that made sure everything that the father said, this guy made sure that it was enforced. Okay? So they called him the law. He was the sheriff. He was the law. He made sure nobody could get away with anything with the law around. And see, they had these dogs that lived there on their place. And there was this one dog, while he was bigger than all the rest, And as time went by, he grew stronger and stronger. He was beautiful. This big Rottweiler dog. I mean, the prettiest dog that you ever seen in your life. And as time went by, and as he grew stronger and more powerful, I mean, this dog, he was like one big, huge piece of muscle. All the other dogs were in awe of him. And one day, he got it in his mind. He said, I don't know what these people think they're doing, but I am the big dog around here. I run this place. Everybody here listens to me. What in the world am I doing taking orders from the Son and from the Father? Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show them who the big dog is. I'm going to chew them up and spit them out. I'm going to run them out of this place, and I'm going to take over. So he got a third of them other dogs to go with him. They rose up, and they went up, and they went against the Son. And the Father was there. And the law come in. And here these big dogs was, and they was a big pack of them. This big Rottweiler dog, his name was Lucifer. And he had this pack of demon dogs. And they rose up, and they said, we're going to take over this joint, and we're going to run the rest of y'all out of here, and you're going to serve us. Well, what they didn't realize is all they had ever seen of the Son and of the Father was love. That's all they had ever seen. They hadn't seen wrath and fury and anger. All they ever saw was love. So they said, "Why these weak people? I ain't a bit scared of them. Why they're weak? They ain't nothing. All they do is go around loving on everybody and telling everybody how much they love. You're a good dog. You're a good dog." They said, "I'm not a good dog. I'm a mean dog, and I'm going to show you how mean I am." What he didn't know was they was this big rod of iron that was leaning up against the wall. They never really knew what that was for. They just knew it was there. So the Son walked in, and that dog turned on him. And that dog took out after him and tried to bite him. And the Father stood up and said, "We'll have none of this." And the Son picked up that rod of iron, and he knocked that dog upside the head, went flipping through the air, bounced off the wall, and the Son run every one of them dogs out of his house. The law come forward, and he said, "You're cast out into the wilderness. Don't come back in here anymore." See, the Son showed him who was boss. He told Lucifer, "You're out. You were in, now you're out. Get out of here." He had a place specially prepared for them out in the wilderness and said, "That's where you have to go. You're out there. Now you can rule all you want out there, but in here, I'm the king. In here, it's me." So when we take that story and we look at that, then the Son, he went out one day and he was walking, and he come up and he saw this old dog. He wasn't sure what it was over there. Got to looking, and it was a dog. Well, that dog, he was all muddy. He was scarred up. See, this dog had been living out on the street. This dog didn't have any little dog friends. All the other dogs was attacking him. He didn't have anything to eat while he was scrounging for every little thing he could get. All the little kids in the neighborhood run him off, threw rocks at him, was mean to him. While he was out there all alone by himself, he had torn ears. And he had a bloody nose, and he had a bad limp on his back leg where he had been beaten so much. There was this man that pretended to be his friend and said, "Come over here. Come here, little puppy dog." But he was really just tricking him. And he got over there, and the man beat him, and that's why he limped with his leg. And this little dog, it had been raining. He was cold. He was shivering. He was hungry. And he just thought, "Why does everybody hate me? Why is it that I don't have a friend in the world? Why in the world is everybody attacking me? I didn't do nothing to nobody. I never was mean to nobody. But here, every time I see another dog, they jump on me. Every time I see a human being, they're kicking and throwing rocks at me. What in the world did I ever do?" So what he decided to do is, "I'm just going to try to be just as mean as everybody else. Anybody come around him, he'd bite them. He'd growl at him. He'd try to act as mean as he could, even though he knew that he wasn't no match for none of these other dogs. But the son saw him over there. And the son fell in love with that little dog. And as he got closer to that dog, what he saw was that dog had the mange and half his hair was gone. Not only that, but that dog was infested with fleas. That dog limped. And that dog had bruises and cuts all over him. And the son went over there. And the law said, hey, you can't touch that thing. You get away from that thing. Don't you dare take that. And the son said, my father gave me authority over all things, including you. And the law stepped back and said, yes, sir, you are correct. So then all the people gathered around and they said, well, what's he doing? They said, don't you know that there's better dogs than that? Well, there's a breeder right down the road, got purebred German Shepherds. There's another one down the road, you can get you a Shih Tzu puppy. There's one down there, it's got Labradors, beautiful dogs. And he said, those that are not sick don't need a physician. He said, I didn't come looking for a good dog. I come looking for a dog that needed me. I come looking for a dog that was out here all by himself and needed somebody that nobody else cared about, nobody else wanted, nobody else wanted anything to do with. He said, I want this little dog right here. Everybody said, you're crazy. Well, that wild thing, you're going to take that to your house and he's going to get fleas all in your house. He's going to give all your other dogs the mange. He's going to ruin everything. And the son said, no. He goes, I know about dogs. He said, I can fix this one. He said, I'm going to heal his wounds. He said, I'm going to fix him up. I'm going to clean him up. I'm going to give him a bath with this special stuff that's going to get rid of them nasty fleas. I'm going to fix that back leg. Boy, you're not going to recognize him when I get done with him. So the son went over there to that little dog cowering in the corner. And as he got closer, that little dog said, I've seen people act nice to me before. This guy thinks he's going to fool me. I've heard all that nicey-nicey dog stuff before. So he started growling. But you know what? The son didn't care. The son knew that he wasn't a mean dog. He was just scared. He knew he was just hungry. He knew that he didn't have a friend, that he was just alone. So he come over our close, and he loved on that dog, and he talked sweet to that dog. But you know what? As he reached out to that dog, you know what that dog did? That dog grabbed a hold of his hand and bit him and shook and took blood out. Lord, then he grabbed the other one, and he chewed him up, and the son just sat there and let him chew on his hands. And the father stepped forward, and he said, Lord, do something. And Jesus Christ looked up and said, Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he does. Then he picked that little dog up with blood dripping off his hands, that little dog where had bit him. He picked him up, and he said, don't you worry. You come with me. I got something I want you to see. I'm going to take you somewhere where you're going to be loved, you're going to be cared for. I'm going to take you somewhere where you're going to have all kinds of friends to play with, and you're going to be under my authority. You're going to be under my protection. Nothing's going to happen to you. And that little dog said, I think this guy's crazy. I don't know what in the world's going on. I don't know about you, but when I first got born again, I didn't understand why in the world that the Savior of heaven came down and cared anything about this mutt dog. But here he took him, and he took him, and the dog saw, Lord have mercy, the beauty of this place. And you know what? There was 99 other dogs running around. And what the son had done is the son went to the father a few months before, and he said, Father, you got them old demon, that Lucifer and those demon dogs are out here in the wilderness. I want a place of sanctuary and protection for my dogs. And you know something? The father, he had wealth beyond imagination. So he put a great big huge fence up so those dogs could run free. They could play. They could do anything they wanted and be protected from the outside world. So he brought that little dog in there. And he brought him in, and he didn't just throw him outside. He didn't put him in a pen. No, no. He took him into his room. And he said, you're going to be with me for the next little bit. And he cleaned that dog up. He fixed his ears, and he worked on that leg, and he slept. And he brought that dog and slept in the bed with that dog. And he hugged that dog, and he told that dog how much he loved him. And that dog was precious to him. Everybody else said, that mangy mutt, I don't know what in the world you see in that nasty thing. You need to kill that thing. You need to take it down to the pound. You need to get rid of it. It ain't worth having. But the son said, oh, no, this right here, this is what I went to school for. This right here is what I trained for. This is what I do. I go find those that nobody else wants, and I bring them to the house, and I take care of them. See, he rescued that dog, and he brought that dog in. Then this little dog's name was Buddy. Buddy had never lived in a big house before. He just lived on the street. He didn't know how to act. He didn't know how he was supposed to do, and he kept making mistakes. He kept doing things wrong. But the son said, oh, that's okay. I'm going to teach him. Listen, don't you worry about it. I'll teach you everything you need to know. You don't have to worry about none of that stuff. But then one day, the law walked in the room. And the law looked down, and that dog had made a mess in the floor. The law got angry and hollered for the father. And he said, this dog must die. Look what that mangy mutt did in our kingdom, in our castle. Look at it. Where is he? For the wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ walked in the room. The son walked in and said, no, he's mine. All of that stuff, I got it. I'll take care of it. You just go on about your business. I got this one right here. And he picked that little dog up, and he loved on him, and he said, you can't do that. That's not how you do that. Let's show you where you're supposed to go. And he cleaned that mess up. And nobody ever knew that it even happened when the son got done. Amen. See, the dog, he didn't know how he was supposed to act. He didn't know how to live in a house. He'd never lived in a house before. The son said, no, that's my job. He said, Father, you let me bring these dogs in. I'll take care of them. I'll feed them. I'll look over them. I'll watch them. I'll take care of him. This little dog, he didn't know what in the world was going on. Out in the wilderness, all he'd done was he had to scrounge around for any little scrap of food that he could find. He was always hungry. He never knew what it was to have a full belly. And every time that he found a little piece of food, he had to fight other dogs for it. Now he goes in there, and Lord, there's dog bowls everywhere. There's food everywhere. He used to drink out of mud puddles, and he used to drink stagnated water. Now there's fresh, flowing water, endless. The dog said, I've never seen anything like this before in my life. I don't know what in the world to do. He ate and ate and ate till he got sick. And then what he done, he learned that you just eat a little bit at a time. And when you, he listen, when you're hungry, the son said, well, when you're hungry, just go over there and eat. Nobody's stopping you. When you're thirsty, go over and get you a drink. It was endless supply. Little buddy didn't know what in the world was going on. But he said, you know, I get used to this. This ain't a bad way to live right here. This is all right. So then, as time went by, little buddy, he really, really started to fit in. All them other dogs, why they didn't fight him and beat him up, why they took him in. All them other, he'd never seen other dogs that wouldn't attack him. And he said, what in the world? He asked those dogs, he said, how come that we all live like this? He said, well, because we all came from where you come from. We all was in the same shape as you. And he said, all of you big, beautiful dogs was in the same shape as me. He said, oh yeah, but it was the master. It was our master that brought us in. Our master cleaned us up. Our master taught us how to live in his house. Our master, he fed us and made us strong and made us bold. And little buddy said, oh my goodness, you mean I'm going to be as big and strong and good looking as you guys? They said, absolutely. You just give the master a little bit of time. He's going to fix you right up. So one day, buddy was out there in the yard playing, and that fence was out there, and he didn't have anything to worry about. But over there on the other side of the fence, he saw these two little dogs. While they was just playing and having a good time. And he got real interested. He's like, wonder what they... Why outside the fence, looks like they have a lot of fun out there. I'm in here in this fence, and I've got my toys and everything else. But, you know, it's time for some new toys. I'd like to do what they're doing. And, you know, one of them little dogs, it was a little girl dog, and she was cute. And he said, I'd like to get to know that little cute girl dog over there. So what Buddy did was he snuck out of the fence. And he went out in the wilderness with them two other dogs. Them two other dogs welcomed him. Hey, come on, buddy. We're your best friend. Come on out here with us. Let's go. We're going to show you how to have a good time. You live in there around all them rules. You can't do this. You can't use a bathroom in the house. You come out here with us. Well, you can go wherever you want. You can do whatever you want. Nobody tells us what to do. Nobody gives us any rules. Well, we just live any way we want to live. And if anybody messes with us, well, we just bite them and we put them in their place. Out here, we're the law. We rule out here. So little buddy said, okay, well, maybe I'll try this. It sounds pretty good. So little buddy got deceived and he wandered off. And you know, it wasn't long till little buddy, he got on down and got deeper into the wilderness, deeper than really he ever really expected to go. And then, you want to know what happened? Them two dogs that was his friend, that pretty little girl dog, they got him out there in the wilderness and they turned on him. Well, they jumped on him and started tearing him up, opened up them old wounds that he had. And then, out of nowhere, he looked up and he was surrounded by a big pack of mean old dogs. And there's this one, bigger than all the rest of them, stepped out. And his name was Lucifer. And he said, boy, now you're mine. He said, now you're mine. He said, we're gonna have some fun, and then we're going to take you out. Because I know who you belong to, and I don't like him. And I'm going to take my anger on him out on you. And I'm going to tear you up into little bitty pieces and then spit you out. And all of us are going to take our turn with you. Well, just about that time, the father and the son walked outside. And the son immediately knew something was wrong. He knew somebody was missing. And he said, where's Buddy? I had 100 dogs and now there's only 99. He said, where in the world is Buddy at? Where is Buddy? And one of them dogs said, Buddy snuck out of the fence and he went down. Let me tell you something. The son, fear gripped his heart. He said, you mean to tell me that little buddy is out there in the wilderness with Lucifer and his pack of demon dogs? He's outside my protection. He's wandered off. Boy, the son, he lit out of there as fast as he could go. As he went out the gate, he grabbed that rod of iron and took it with him. And he was running down through the wilderness, tears going down his face. He said, I got to find him. I got to find him before something happens to him. I got to find him. Where in the world's he at? I'm going to look for him. I'm going to find him. Where did he go? About that time, old Lucifer was right up over top of Buddy and was getting ready to tear him up. And Buddy yelled out, help! And the son heard his cry. And boy, the son, he come busting through the trees. And little buddy looked up and he said, oh, now I've done it. He come to get me. I wandered off and boy, he's going to be mad at me and he's going to hurt me. And not only that, but here I am, I'm going to die. And my master's going to die too, because he's no match for these dogs. All he knows is love and gentleness. While these dogs are going to tear him to pieces. And as he cowered in fear, the next thing he heard was he heard a big yelp. And he looked up and he saw Lucifer doing cartwheels through the air. And then he looked around and all them big mean dogs, they were all shaking and they were cowering in fear. They were trying to hide behind each other. And the son stood there with his rod of iron and he said, back off. No more. Little buddy had never seen this kind of power. He had never seen this kind of anger. He had never seen this kind of fury, and he was amazed, shocked. Even big Lucifer, after he got his senses together and got up off the ground, he stood there and looked at the sun. Then he stepped back, and he bowed to the earth. And the sun looked at all of them, and he said, everybody stay where you are and don't move. And then he turned around and looked at Buddy. And Buddy said, boy, I've had it now. Lord, he's so angry. He's going to kill me now. I've done it. I have messed up. Lord, he's going to get me. And he looked up at the sun, his master, his Lord. And those eyes of anger melted into compassion and love. And he said, little buddy, are you okay? He said, are you all right? And he reached down, and all Buddy could see was those scarred hands, the hands that he had scarred, those scars that he had put in there. He saw those hands coming down, and he knelt down there with little Buddy, and he said, come here. He pulled out some salve, and he anointed. He put that on the ear that was bleeding, and he said, you know something? You've been gone for a while. You're probably hungry. He said, let me give you some food right here. Buddy said, oh, my goodness. These dogs are going to attack. We've got food. He knows what dogs do when food's there. So he laid that food down, and Buddy looked up, and old Lucifer, he took another step back. And he said, I've never seen anything like this. My goodness. So he's sitting there eating, and then he looks up, and he looks at the master's face. And he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He said, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But he's never seen anything in the world like that before. The master picked him up, and he said, buddy, I left 99 safe in the fold. And he said, there's going to be rejoicing when we get back. When I bring you back, the Father's going to be there. All your brothers and sisters are going to be there. There's going to be a joyous time. And he said, buddy, you don't need to wander off anymore. You wander off, you're going to get in trouble. You wander off, you're going to get in the wilderness where the demon dogs are. You need to stay over here. You need to stay with the master. You need to stay with me. And as he took him back, and buddy just looked up at him, and you know what happened? Oh, buddy fell in love. But love came over him like he'd never had for anything. He didn't realize he could love this much. Why, he fell in love with the master. He fell in love with the son. He said, you know something? He loves me. He's not out to get me. He's not going to hurt me. All he has is he wants my best, what's best for me. He's protecting me. He's feeding me. He took me out of the ditch and brought me in here, and he fell in love. Let me tell you something. From that day forward, you wouldn't see the son nowhere to what buddy wasn't right on his heels. If the son got up, walked out of the room, buddy was going, where'd he go? Where'd he go? I got to find him. If he looked around, couldn't see the son, he started, well, I got to find him. I can't be out here by myself. I got to be where the protection is. I got to be where the food is. I got to be the one that provides everything for me. And he wouldn't let the son out of his sight because he fell in love with him. Lord, he loved him like none other. Like none other. And he looked up at the son, his master. And he said, why in the world did you do all this for me? And why in the world? He said, I thought I was dead when I was out in the wilderness. And the master looked down at him and said, as in Matthew 28, he said, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. He said, you don't have to worry about nothing. He said, I knew where you was, and I was coming to get you. He said, I wasn't going to let nothing happen to you. And then it says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, buddy, you can wander off. I'm still going to be there. Wherever you go, I'm going to be there. I'm going to hunt you down. I'm going to make sure that you're protected. Even if you don't want my protection, I'm going to make sure that you are taken care of no matter what. Lord, buddy's love just kept growing and growing for the master, his master. And then the master brought another little dog in. Well, this dog was just as bad as Buddy was when he got there. Well, he was tore up. He was shaken. He was scared of his own shadow. He didn't know what to do. And he brought him in there. And you know what Buddy did? But he didn't go over and say, hey, you dumb dog, you ain't supposed to sit there. He didn't say, hey, you're not supposed to use the bathroom there. He come over and he said, welcome. Welcome into the family. Let me show you what goes on around. Let me show you where the sun provided us food right over here. Let me show you where the water is. Let me show you where the toys are. And anytime you're hurting, just go to him, because he is the great physician. Yeah. He can make all your pains and hurts go away. Let me tell you something. And everybody gathered around and they said, welcome. We're glad to have you here. And he was just an old mungy, mangy dog. The rest of them, nobody was saying, I don't want to get near him. I might get fleas. Nobody said, I might get the mange, because you know what? They didn't care. You know why they didn't care, Brother Gary? Because they knew the man that would get rid of the fleas. It didn't matter if they got fleas. They knew that the son would take care of it. It didn't matter if they got the mange. They had the great physician. They didn't have to worry about anything. Amen. That little dog looked up at all them, and he looked at Buddy, and he said, why are y'all so nice to me? Buddy said, I know exactly what you mean. I've been there. I didn't understand why all these dogs was nice to me either. He said, what do you love that guy so much for? Well, y'all treat him like he's something special. Why is it that you love him so much? And little Buddy, he looked down, just as it says in Psalms chapter number 40. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. And he said also, he said, we love him. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. You see, when we was out there hiding and shivering and shaking and hungry, we didn't love him. And we wasn't lovable. But the Son sought us out. The Son was out looking for somebody to save. And the Son found me. And he come up and he said, you're worthless. Why, you're a half-breed. Why, you got the mange and you got fleas and you're all tore up. There's nothing beautiful about you. There's nothing pretty about me and about you. Listen, I got some bad news and I got some good news. The bad news is me and you are Buddy. We is worthless and we're nothing. And we're no match for Lucifer and his demon dogs. They will tear us all to pieces. But I got good news. And the good news is that we've got a master, the Son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's our protection. He's the one that we serve. And let me tell you something else. His Father has unlimited resources. Anything that the Son needs to be able to protect his flock, he's going to have, because the Father owns it all. But he goes out there. Sometimes he sees old Lucifer on the other side of the fence. Old Lucifer's growling and snapping. And he says, boy, I'm going to get you one day. And Buddy just looks at him and says, you want me to go get the master? You see, the Son's name, Buddy's master, his name was Jesus. He said, you want me to go get Jesus? I'll go get the master if you want me to. And we can sit down and talk about this thing. Oh, Lucifer said, that's all right. That's okay. I'll just go over here. See, Buddy knew. Buddy knew how to deal with Lucifer now. He knew that the power wasn't in himself, but the power was in his master. He says, as long as I stay with the master, everything's going to be fine. Nothing's going to bother me. The question I have tonight, I'm not foolish enough to think that every single person, it's not a guarantee that every single person that's in this building tonight is saved and on their way to heaven. Chances are there's somebody here that's just been playing church. Chances are that you're a good person and your mom and dad brings you, or you grew up in church and you just always did the best you could. But you don't remember a time. You still feel exactly like little Buddy. You feel lost out in the world. You feel hungry, and you're shaking, and you're cold, and you're nervous, and you're scared, and you don't know what's going to happen next. And you think, why in the world does nobody like me? Why in the world is everybody against me? Why does everybody attack me? Why does nobody like me? It's because you've never met the Master. And the Master's here tonight. And the Master's looking for somebody to bring into his pack. Master's looking for somebody to clean up. He's looking for somebody that he can take home and show his father, look what I found. I got another one, Dad. Look at this. We're building the kingdom over here. I've found another one. I've saved another one. Tonight's the night that the Master's here looking for you. And now there's some here that you've been saved and you've been born again. But quite honestly, you're like little Buddy. You wandered away. You wandered outside the fence. And you're out in the world. And you're not living the way you should live. And you're not thinking like you should think. And you're not doing the things that you should do. And you're not serving the Master. And you're not, listen, you've lost your love for Him. Now the Master can walk out of the room and don't even know He's not here. There's a lot of churches right now, not in California, not in New York, right here in the Tri-Cities, that the Master's not in that building tonight and they don't know it. Because they've gotten so cold and callous that they don't even realize that their love for... See, think about it is, I've got a little dog, I got three dogs at the house. I can get up and walk out of the room and them three dogs will lay there and just watch me. They don't care. Angie, get up and walk out of the room, all three of them. She fusses all the time. I'll hear her say, y'all get out of here. She went to the bathroom. All three dogs went right in there with her. She's having to run them out of the bathroom. Get out of here. You don't need y'all in here. See, they love her. What they don't realize is the only reason why she feeds them is because I buy the food. She don't know. They don't know that. All they know is she's the one, right? They know she's the one that takes care of them because they know this old fool only visits on weekends. And you know what they do, Brother Gary? If I go over to Angie and I do this right here and reach out, they all jump up and start growling. I'm like, y'all know I could kill you, don't you? I could kill every one of y'all and not lose a minute's sleep. But I don't because they love her and they care about her. And where she goes, they go. Where she's at, they want to be. And that's how we need to be. Wherever the Master is, that's where we ought to want to be. You see, there's a lot of people that are saved and born again, child of God, that are not in the house of God tonight. If they, listen, folks, if we really love the Master, we'd want to be where He's at. And you say, well, that's awful arrogant. Listen, all I know is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. And this is His house. This is not my house, not Gary's house. This is God's house. And if we gather here in His name, then if God doesn't show up, then He's a liar. Now, God may show up and we may say, we don't need you. Thanks. We got this. We don't need you. You go on. Now, He's not going to stay where He's not wanted. But if we show up in His name, He's going to... So why in the world wouldn't I want to be where God's at? Why would I not want to be where the Master's at? That's where the power is. That's where the protection is. That's where the glory is. My goodness, why would you want to be anywhere else? People act like praying and studying their Bible is some kind of a chore. Listen, that's how you get in touch with the Master. That's how you get in touch with the power. That's how you get the word from on high, is get in the book and pray and seek God's face. And folks, as we come into revival the next two nights, we need to come and we need to remember. Listen, when you're in trouble and you call out to God, this is the picture that I want in your head, is that the Lord Jesus Christ, He comes over and He reaches out with those nail-scarred hands. Those scars that you and I put there. You see, when He hugs us up, we talk about that a lot. We talk about being in the arms of God. We talk about being hugged. See, we got to remember, those are nail-scarred hands that are hugging us. Those are nail-scarred hands that are holding us. He's got scars in His head where they crushed the crown of thorns. His back is mangled where He was beaten. We did that to Him, but He loved us anyway. Amen. He come out and He pulled us out of the miry clay out of a horrible pit. At one time, we were without God in the world. And he said, I'm going to go find them, Father. I'm going to hunt for them. I'm going to search for them. And I'm going to bring them in to the fold. As every head's bowed and every eye closed.